Krishna. All right, so do we have any particular questions or topics of discussion today?
He's sent some questions.
Okay. Go ahead.
David Gassi. Some devotees have such experience that to go through anatta nivritta stage, one needs in average 20 years of serious spiritual practice. But sometimes we can see that devotees reach this high level for quite not many years. What is this? Special precious mercy? Or is that credits from the past lives? For example, if a devotee already reached nishta stage in his past life. So the question is it possible to reach the stage of, to go through shraddha, these stages from shraddha to prema in one life? What is the formula of fast spiritual progress? Many devotees think that it is not possible to achieve Krishna prema stage in one life.
Well, those devotees who don't believe that it's possible, they probably won't. Krishna says that it's possible. Srila Prabhupada says that it's possible. So faith is the basic ingredient for advancing in Krishna consciousness, and you certainly have to have faith in the result. If devotees don't have faith that they can achieve perfection, then that certainly slows down their progress, because it means that they don't have faith in Prabhupada. It says that you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. You have to practice the process nicely. That's understood, but you can do it. Certainly it's possible that some people have practiced Krishna consciousness in their previous life, and so they're continuing where they left off. Purva abhyasena tenaiva. Krishna says purva abhyas, that from previous practice one continues. And obviously the more spiritual life one's done in the past, the less they have to progress at present. But even if someone starts from point zero, if they're very serious and determined and they follow the process, then they can get the result. That's the goal of Krishna consciousness. And being in this world in future lifetimes makes it more difficult to practice Krishna consciousness, because the circumstances are getting more difficult. Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto adhyajimam namaskuru ame vaisai susatyam te pratijani priyosime. So he says, you'll come to me, I promise you this, because you're my friend. Okay, I don't know if I remember, but anyway, I was quoting Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mame vaisai susatyam te pratijani priyosime. He says that if you remember me and worship me and pray to me and bow down to me, then you'll come to me, and I promise you this. Krishna gives his promise. So he says, pratijani priyosime. He says, pratijani priyosime. He says, I promise you this because you're my friend. So why not have faith in what Krishna says? On the other hand, if we're not practicing Krishna consciousness the way we should, that's another thing. It's like someone may not believe that fruit grows on a tree. But if they don't water the tree nicely, and if they don't take care of it, then the fruit won't come. But that's not the fault of the tree. That's our fault. But if we practice it nicely, then it will come. So everyone stay enthusiastic for going back to Godhead in this life.
It is said in Harinam Chintamani that one should chant the holy name constantly. And in which level of devotional service is it possible or feasible?
Well, chanting name of holy, chanting Krishna's holy name is either done, you either accept that directly or you also do it indirectly. So you can chant Krishna's name in kirtan, in bhajan, in japa. You can chant Krishna's name while you can chant Krishna's name while you're cooking or doing arati. And when you can't chant Krishna's name aloud or in your mind, then chanting Krishna's name means to serve Krishna's name. Sometimes sometimes I can't hear. There's these big pauses, and then, all right. So, did you hear what I said? So, when we can't chant aloud, then we serve the holy name. In other words, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness means chanting Hare Krishna. And much as possible, we try to do that either aloud or in our minds. But when we can't, then make sure that whatever we're doing is connected to chanting Hare Krishna. It's like Krishna says, Kirtaniya Sada Hari.
Krishna, so this, it is possible that one chants constantly?
Well, in the context of what I said, on any level. Yeah, I can see that. Are you going to translate? No, his on every level. Trying to chant constantly is also chanting constantly. And
yes.
Chanting constantly, then of course that's constant chanting. So even when we're not successful in always being absorbed in thinking about Krishna, but if we're making the effort, that in itself is a type of absorption. It's only when we give up that we're actually not chanting Hare Krishna all the time. Other things?
Vedanta Kri Prabhu, is it acceptable if one wants to achieve better quality and concentration of chanting, and due to these efforts, one chants 5 or 6 hours? His 16 rounds take him to chant 5 or 6 hours. Is it possible? Is it acceptable?
5 or 6 hours to chant 16 rounds? No. That's not. It doesn't require 5 hours to chant good quality rounds. You just need to listen. Unless someone has a speech impediment, they shouldn't have any problem in chanting rounds in 2 hours, 2 hours 15. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's friends asked Prabhupada why it took devotees so long for them to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said it's because it's a foreign language to them. But as devotees become progressive in Krishna consciousness, they should be able to chant their rounds in 5 minutes. But at least 7 minutes, that should be a good average. 5 hours is too long.
No, get yourself started. Pure chanting is chanting which is free from ignorance and anarthas. But sometimes we can see that we want to get free of ignorance by receiving transcendental knowledge, and also we pray to Krishna to purify our hearts. But still, the remnants of our material desires impede us from pure chanting, or at least from chanting on Namabhas level. So how to get rid of these impurities if we cannot do it by our own endeavor?
No, you can do it by your own endeavor, you just have to keep trying. The holy name is what's purifying our hearts. And the quality of the holy name that we chant, that will indicate the speed at which the heart becomes purified. So there are certain things that facilitate the quality of the chanting. Association, being very attentive, obviously staying awake, So these are practical things that help us get the full benefit of chanting, and when we don't do these, then it obstructs the benefit of our own chanting. But in any case, whatever our level of spiritual advancement, by chanting Hare Krishna, we will increase that, but we need to do it in the best possible way.
Recently, you gave some instructions to a devotee who likes to worship Radha and Krishna deities at home. So my question on this topic, quite often someone brings to devotee's house Radha and Krishna deities or Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra deities, and then devotees start to worship them without asking permission from spiritual master, considering that if the deities come to their house, it means this is the deity's will. So what should be our attitude to this?
Well, I've spoken quite a bit about that. It may be the deity's will to come to people's home, but it's also the deity's will that they be worshipped properly, that they don't get neglected and they get worshipped for hundreds and thousands of years. And even if the deities speak to you and say, you have to worship me, then you have to tell the deities, I'm sorry, I have to ask my spiritual master first. Because Krishna consciousness means that we don't have direct access to Krishna. We only have access to Krishna through our spiritual master. So that's our whole method of deity worship. Worshipping deity is worshipping through Guru. You can't worship deities directly. That's well known, isn't it?
Well known indeed. But sometimes devotees accept deities without asking for permission. Like my friend recently accepted deities and she didn't ask her spiritual master. And she's in fact afraid to ask him because she's afraid that he would not allow her to worship the deities. So what I should do? Should I interfere with this situation with my friend? Should I tell her something, advise her something? Or should I just restrain from any advice? What should be my attitude in this situation?
Boy, sounds like a really good disciple. He's afraid to ask the spiritual master about something because he may not say what she likes to hear. Seems to me, my feeling is that if that's her relationship with her guru, if your relationship with her friend may be similar, that is that you may be a friend as long as you're not telling her to do something she doesn't want to do. But if you're real friends, then by all means, there should be no problem. That's what friends are about. That's what friendship is.
And many times, but she does not want to listen. Therefore, I don't know what should I do further.
Nothing.
Except.
Yeah. What can you do? If you can't do anything, then you don't do. Speak to people who listen to you. I have 5 more minutes, and then I have to go down to the nearby temple for a program. Okay. Well, let's have one. Or is there any? Any other type of report that we have or anything?
If a devotee is mentally diseased, should he get treatment from usual doctors? And second question is, can this mental disease be a consequence of spiritual practice?
Yeah, if someone has any kind of sickness, whether it's physical or mental or emotional, then it should be dealt with by qualified people. Yeah, we should not neglect disease. That is a very dangerous thing. As far as connection of disease with Krishna consciousness, disease is not necessarily coming from lack of Krishna consciousness or practice of Krishna consciousness, but it comes from other more practical, down-to-earth things. Bad eating habits, not good regulation, not good lifestyle, too much stress, traumatic incidents in a person's life. Now, Kali Yuga, the atmosphere is so unfavorable that it's not just unfavorable for spiritual life, but it's just unfavorable for people's health as well. Okay, I think we should stop and then just see when our next meeting is.